Amen. Well, I want to check real quick. I failed to do this just a moment ago. Man, the new schedule, has it messed anybody else up? Has it messed anybody up? It's messed me up. I was up some nights, 9:30, I'm ready for bed. Last night, 12:45, I'm still wide awake. Just wired for the day. Excited about today. And but then I think the more than you think about, 5:30 is coming. Go to sleep, then you can't go to sleep. But so I'm a little off. But here's what I want to do. I want to make sure I haven't missed anyone. And I failed to ask this a while ago, but do we have anybody that's visiting with us this morning? It's your very first time here at First Baptist Geneva. As I looked around, I thought we had all home folks, but I didn't want to risk that. So is there anyone I've missed? All right, so it is all home folk. I don't anticipate a lot of first-time guests in the 8 o'clock service. I think most of them will come at the 11, and that's absolutely understandable, and we realize that, but I don't want to be amiss in here. All right, I want you to turn with me to your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21. We're going to come to that in a moment. We've got a little ways to go before we get there. We'll lay a little background to start off. But the title of the message this morning is this. It's Slaying Giants. Pastor Aaron yesterday, we were texting back and forth, and early on, Kentucky was giving Georgia a handful. I mean, they were a handful. And he's like, well, he may actually have that slide back there. We may see it before it's over. But he had a slide back there made up that was with Georgia and Kentucky on it. And he said, if they win, I'm putting that slide up. I said, if they win, that you can put it up. You know, it'd make a great illustration. So when we're talking about slaying giants, first thing, what comes to your mind? David and Goliath, right? We think about David and Goliath, but there's some others that we're going to get to. But Landon, there's kind of some background on this. In 1 Samuel 17, we meet here, we come into this, we learn of David, and we learn of this situation. And David is, you know, he's the youngest of 8 children, and David is keeping, you know, he's young, he's still a young man at this point. So he's tending sheep for his father. 3 of his oldest brothers, they've gone off to war. They're off with Saul at battle. And so David would go back and forth at times, and basically to get a report for his dad, find out what's going on. And so Jesse tells him, he sends him some food for his sons. He sends some gifts for the military leaders there, and he sends David off. And obviously he wants a report to come back of how things are going in the battle. So David gets there, and you know the story. David gets there, and Goliath is out there in the field. He's ready to fight. He's running his mouth. He's intimidating. He's big. He's boisterous. He's challenging. People are scared to death. And what David sees is everyone's really cowered down to this. No one wants to go out and face Goliath. And so David, you know, someone even mentions, you know, whoever slays Goliath will get to marry the king's daughter and we'll get these riches and stuff. And David's like, hey, wait, what? What was that? And so they tell him again. And, you know, but David, more than, you know, we don't focus on that because I'm not going to go fight Goliath just so I can marry the king's daughter. That's not it. But here was the greater motivator for David. David looks at this and he hears the things that Goliath is saying. He is really blaspheming the God of heaven. And David takes great offense to that. And so David says, you know, why isn't someone facing him? And so David pops off and says, I'll go fight him. And there, you know, people are like, what, are you crazy? You know, shut your mouth. But David meant it. You know the story, tries on Saul's armor. Some say it was too big. Others, you know, he says he hasn't tested it, which means he's not used to fighting in that armor. It may have been way too big for him. It may have been the very fact that David was, man, these guys that used a sling out in the woods. He, you know, out caring for the sheep. He didn't wear armor. He didn't carry a sword, all those things. So he says, you know, I haven't tested these. I haven't proven these. I'm not going to wear this. And David goes out. Before he does, he goes and he picks up 5 stones. He puts them in his bag, and he goes out. And we know the story. Slings a stone, hits Goliath in the head. Now here's where where David did. He hit Goliath in the head with that stone. Goliath goes down. It's kind of what Kentucky did last night. Kentucky hit George in the head with a stone and had him down. Goliath went and took the head off. He finished the job. That's what I was telling you, Brent. He finished the job. David went and he takes Goliath's head. He didn't just knock him out. He finished the job, right? Kentucky didn't finish the job. That's the illustration. They had Georgia down. They had Georgia beat. They could have beat them, but they didn't take their head. They didn't finish the job. And so enough of the illustrations there. But that's this David and Goliath thing. And so David, he fights this. But here's where we're going to get to. We're going to talk about slaying giants this morning. And here's the deal. Giants represent certain things. Giants, they do certain things, okay? So they intimidate the people of God. Giants intimidate the people of God. You see here, Goliath intimidated the people of God. Those who were there to defend God, they were battling for God. They were intimidated by Goliath. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24 says, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man," speaking of Goliath, "fled from him and were dreadfully afraid." Boy, that's a shameful statement. They wanted to say we're a little scared. They were dreadfully afraid. There wasn't nobody going. Now, nobody was volunteering to go out there. Now, I guess if the king had commanded somebody to go out, they would have had to. But they weren't doing that, and there wasn't nobody volunteering to do that. They were intimidated. So giants intimidate the people of God. They insult the character and power of God. And Goliath did that. If you go and read, and I'm not going to read 1 Samuel 17. You can go back and read that later. But you'll see there how Goliath, he intimidates the people, but he also insults the character and the power of God. He just belittles God. Another thing that giants do is they impede the progress of God's work. Now you say, well, no one can impede that. Well, absolutely. Absolutely, God's work can be impeded. God's work doesn't advance when God's people cower to the giant. Perhaps he's called you to do something and there's a giant in your life that you've cowered to. And now you're not doing what God would have you to do. The work of God is being impeded by a giant. So what's your giant? What's the giant in your life? Is it sin? You know, we were in sin, we lived in sin, we were dead in our sin, we get saved, and God forgives us of that sin, he forgives us of all our sin, and you know, at that point we think, man, this is all over, I won't have to worry about that anymore, and then down the road, it's amazing how a sin from our past, or maybe even a new sin, can pull us right back in. Amen? Amen? So we think it's all over. We think, man, I'm a Christian now. I've got victory. I've slain the giant. The giant of sin in my life's been beaten, and I've got victory. And yet we end up being pulled back into that. That happens. Maybe your giant's a fear of service. Maybe you're fearful of what God's calling you to do, and you're intimidated. You're scared of that. I've heard people who said, you know, I feel like God might be calling me to be a missionary, but I don't want to go to Timbuktu. I don't want to go to China. I don't want to, and they're fearful, and they allow that fear to intimidate them to a point that they don't do what God would have them to do. Maybe it's just a situation in your life. Maybe it's something at home. You know, your giant could be something at home, something at work. It could be something at church even. But whatever it is, Satan will put things in your faith, in your face to get you to back down. And so that's what giants do. So whatever our giant is, we are to be giant slayers. That's what we're to be, okay? So David kills Goliath. Now years later, David is an older man at this point. We come here to 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'm going to read about 6 or 8 verses here. Verse 15, "When the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint." I imagine at this point, he's an older guy. He can't battle the way he used to. He's an older man at this point, but he grew faint. And Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, now you see who this is? The son of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought he could kill David, and we'll come back to that, but thought he could kill David. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, "You shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel." Verse 18. "Now it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibachiah, you know what? It's easier to say these in your head. I read this a lot in my head, and I'm going to start reading them out loud more so I can hear them here. The Hushathite killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. So who do we have here? We have another son of Goliath. Again, there was war at Gob with the Philistines. When Elhanan, the son of Jair, Oregon, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath at Gittite, the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam. So now this is a brother of Goliath here. Verse 20, yet again there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born of the giant. Now this is interesting. This is a side note on the. Have you ever heard of these folks? There are actually people who have six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot. And people read this and they want to say Scripture's not accurate, not true. And yet we know those people existed. It's a deformity, a disease that people have. And typically they're giantish people. But here we see right here, this man who had 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant, another son of Goliath. Verse 21, so when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now, I'm going to look at about seven things that we're going to try to learn some things this morning about slaying giants. Okay, number one is this. Not all giants are killed in the same battle. We see that very obviously right here. Goliath is killed years before, and David could have very easily thought, well, it's done. We've killed David. Goliath is dead. The giant has been slain, and we're done with this. And now we come years later, and we have a brother of Goliath, and we have children of Goliath that are now back again to fight against David. And so not all giants are killed in the same battle. So David slew Goliath, and now he's facing Goliath's sons, his brothers. David was a battler. He was somebody who knew how to battle. He had faced a bear. He had faced a lion back when he was a shepherd boy. He had faced those things. He had defended the sheep. And you can imagine, a bear or a lion comes up, takes one of the sheep. And here's what you got to know. I imagine that Jesse had entrusted David with that. But if David loses a sheep, if a lion or a bear came in and took one of the sheep, I don't think Jesse would have been, just livid with Jesse that he allowed a bear or a lion to take one of the sheep. You with me? You follow what I'm saying? I mean, if your son come to you and said, hey, Dad, I lost one of the sheep. This humongous bear came and got it. And, what was I to do? He wouldn't have been upset about that. He wouldn't have been upset. But here's the amazing thing. What did David do? He fought. He chased them down and he slays a lion and a bear. You see, David had great courage even back then. He was a courageous man. He took his responsibility very, very, very seriously, even if his brothers belittled him. We see that where he would go and visit with them, and he's bringing gifts to them, and what do? They smart off to him. Where are those few sheep that you keep? What are you here? And talk about his character, comments they made. I know about your thoughts. I mean, they just belittled David. They would have belittled him in whatever. They may not have taken David serious, but David took his responsibility serious. And here he's facing, he has Goliath out there on the field, and he says, you know what? God helped me in that situation with the bear. God helped me in that situation with the lion. God gave me victory. You know what? He's going to help me in this situation. And he won the victory. And in his old age now, he's facing a new giant. He's got a new giant. These new giants are in his face. And look, folks, when you get saved, you get victory in your life. But later in life, there's always another giant that you've not anticipated. At 56 years of age, there are still giants that will rear their head that I didn't see coming. Situations that I never could have foresaw. Things back here you got victory over and there's a new giant here. Or maybe things back here you slayed a giant and that giant, had kids and that giant's back here and you never anticipated that. But yet here it is. David didn't see that, but here he is later in life and these giants are rearing their head. So don't be deceived. Not all giants are killed in the same battle. He got rid of Goliath. Well, Goliath had children. Goliath had family. And they're there. Folks, we're a troubled people. Amen? We're a troubled people. And here's the fact. You're either coming out of trouble right now, you're in trouble right now, or you got trouble coming. And the fact is, if you've come out of trouble, you probably got trouble coming again. And that's just the fact. We're a troubled people. But understand, not all giants are killed in the same battle. You get victory in one area, don't drop your guard. Because that doesn't mean you're not going to have giants pop up in other areas. Number two, not all giants use the same tactics. Now, here was Goliath's tactic. Goliath not only was big and a brute, but he was a bully. I mean, that's what bullies do, right? Bullies don't want you to stand up to them. That's the truth of a bully. A bully wants you, because they're big or they're mouthy or whatever, they want you to back down. They don't want you to do anything. Goliath's tactic, though, he was a great soldier and a great, well, he was also a bully. He was in your face. His tactic was in your face. He's going to run that mouth. He was going to scream at you. He is large and in charge. He's loud. He's boisterous. He's intimidating. That's his tactic. That's the way Goliath was. But then you have this Ishbi-Benob, and here's his deal. He's a sneaky guy. He's sneaky. Says he has a new sword, which means he has a new weapon. He's not using the same weapon that Goliath used. He's got a new sword. And not all giants are going to use the same weapon in the way that they come at you. Ishbi-Benob, he was sneaky. He was crafty. He was subtle. He thought to take David from the blind side. He didn't go out in a field and challenge David to come out to him. He's sneaking around. As you read that, he's sneaking in. He wants to get close to David so that he can sneak up and blindside him and kill him. So, folks, not all giants use the same tactics. Not all the giants in your life are going to come at you the same way, which means some of them you'll see very easily, and others you won't see so easily. You know, you may have had a situation in your life where in the workplace, you have people that attack you or make fun of you or challenge you because of your faith. And I've heard story after story of people who are strong in their faith, and maybe they sit down in the break room or something and they pray over their meal and people make fun of them. Even the situation, somebody could be sitting across the room and watch the preacher boy over here. He's about to pray. Y'all listen up. Get quiet. You know, whatever, to mock. Yeah, that could be a giant in your life trying to intimidate you not to live out your faith. But here's, a situation like that. A lot of times people go, I'm not going to let that get me. I'm not going to let that quiet me. I'm not going to not pray because of them. I'm going to live out my faith. And you have victory in that. But then you find out that there's somebody back there that's talking about you behind your back. And boy, that one gets you. That one cuts you deep. That one hurts you. And it's a different tactic. So all the giants in your life aren't going to come the same way. So here's the deal. This is what can help us right here. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Because then we can better understand the tactics of Satan. We can better understand seeing them when they come. When the giants attack, we know how they're coming. We can sometimes even foresee it because God gives us the Scriptures and the things that help us understand it. But He has given us in His Scripture the way to deal with those giants when they attack. So we've got to know the book. Get in. Know your book. Know the Bible. And the only way to know that is to read it. Read it, read it, read it. And study it and understand it. And the Holy Spirit of God will use that to help you. He's going to reveal to you ways that you can be on guard for the attacks that may be out there. Number three, not all giants are killed the same way. Okay, David picked up five smooth stones. He only needed one. But who knew he only needed one? I think it's funny, we think, well, David only needed one stone. Why did he get five? And we have all these theological debates about why David picked up five stones. I don't know. They may be right. But I think like this. Maybe David was just smart. I mean, I would rather have I shouldn't use this word right from the pulpit. I would rather have an AR than I had a Derringer. Okay? Y'all with me? I want more shots than less shots. So David could have got one stone, but I think that would have been a little arrogant. It would have been a little presumptuous, a little cocky. I'll take his chump out. I don't need but one. I think David grabbed a handful, so he said, I don't know if I can get him with one. David was confident in his skills with a sling. It's not that. But David wasn't presumptuous and arrogant. So he picked up five. And there's others that say, well, Goliath had four brothers, so David was prepared for them as well. I don't know. Maybe that's true. Maybe God put that on David's heart because of that. But David may not have even known that. But I think David was just being smart. He was just being wise. And so David goes out and one stone. Again, he hits him in the head. I heard someone say, you know, what was the last thing to go through Goliath's mind? A stone. David finished him off, though. He knocked him out, but he didn't stop at that. He didn't end there. He finished off the giant. The scriptures say he went and he stood on him. He didn't have a sword, so he took Goliath's sword and cuts his head off with his own sword. And when the Philistines see that, now they're in fear. You've killed our champion. I mean, they were intimidated by Goliath. You killed Goliath. Now they're on the run. It's interesting. You know, if you watch sports, you see a lot of trash talk, right? You see the posturing and the trash talk. Trash talk's not new. There was trash talk going on there. You go back and read it. It was trash talk. As Goliath is telling David what he's going to do, I'm going to feed your scrawny little carcass to the birds today. And David says, you come at me with a sword and a staff and a shield. I come at you with the power of God, and I'm going to take your head today, and you're going to be fed to the birds. So they're both trash talking, but David backed it up. David backed it up. God gave the victory there. Here's what's interesting, though. We see how Goliath was killed. We know that story very well. None of the other giants were killed that same way. None of them were killed that way. There's only one Jericho. There's only one time in Scripture where the walls fall down. There's only one time where they march around a city for 7 days and they blow trumpets and the walls fall down. One time. You would think, man, that's a great tactic. That's a great military way. God did it one time that way. So God doesn't do the same things in the same way over and over again. There was only one Red Sea parting. You see these again and again and again. God doesn't just say, you know, this is the way we're going to kill all giants. Giant killing 101. This is how it's done every time, okay? And so they're not all killed in the same way. Maybe your way to kill the giant in your life when you face a giant, maybe it's that you memorize Scripture. And so then you can quote Scripture. That's a great way. It's a great way when you're facing a giant to be able to quote Scripture. That's a great reason to memorize Scripture. Maybe it's you open your Bible, and I don't recommend this, but people open their Bible, Lord, I need a word, and they throw it open, and whatsoever thou doest, doeth it quickly. And he went out and hung himself. No, that's a dangerous way to do Scripture. Y'all get that, right? It's a dangerous way to do Scripture. But I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with you're feeling temptation, you're facing a giant, nothing wrong with opening your Word, opening up the Bible, and start reading the Word of God. So maybe it's quoting Scripture. You memorize it and you quote it. Maybe you open the Bible and you read the Bible to get victory. Maybe your thing is, man, I'm struggling. I just need to get alone and pray. And I know people that will go out and they like to go out in nature, get out in the woods somewhere, or get and just spend time praying and ask God for victory and help with those things. Maybe that's your way. Maybe it's to sing songs. Anybody ever do that? You know, you're struggling with some thoughts. You're struggling with, there's a giant that's reared up in your face. And you know what? Start singing. Start singing some old hymns. Start singing some scriptures. Start singing some of these spiritual songs that we sing. And you know what? We can get victory in that. But listen, whatever your method is, God doesn't want you to trust a method. God wants you to trust Him. That's what he wants you to trust, okay? So not all giants are killed in the same way. Number four, not all giants are killed by the same person. These are David's enemies, and they're coming for David. David, in 1 Samuel 17, David kills Goliath, but we hear in 2 Samuel, we find here in verse 17, in chapter 1, 21, that Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, he slays one of the giants. And then in verse 18, Sibachiah, he slays one of the giants. Verse 19, Elhanan, he slays one of the giants. And then in verse 21, Jonathan, Jonathan the son of Shimea, that's David's brother. So it was David's nephew who actually come and slayed one of the giants. So we had five giants. We have five different people who slayed those giants. It's not the same person that slays every giant, the same giant. It's not the same person. Someone may come to you, Man, especially if you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a deacon, you're an elder, you're leading a ministry, Scott. You've got these things going on. It could be just be somebody, they see you're a mature believer. And somebody may come to you and they'll say this, hey, I've got a burden for this person, for some person. I got a burden for them. And man, would you go see them? Would you go visit them? You know, they're lost. They're in the hospital. Would you go and see them? And you know, if you've, and many of you have asked me those kind of things, and I am always glad to go visit somebody in the hospital. We went an hour and 15 minutes away to go visit some friends of the Strongs. They asked me if I'd go visit. Absolutely. I love doing that. But here's the thing. I can't go with your burden. If God's given you a burden for someone, I can't go with your burden. And so what I'd say is, I'll be glad to go, but I'd tell you, you go. You go and you get the victory because God's given you the burden for that person. That means, man, you've got a heart for that person. You want to see that person saved. You want to see that person healed. Whatever may be going on there, you know, God's given you the burden for them. You go and get the victory. There are giants out there for everybody. Okay? You slay those giants. Don't give someone else that victory. You get the victory there. So we all have giants to fight. We all have battles to win. So it's not all giants are killed by the same person. Somebody else can kill those giants. It's not just the pastor who needs to go slay a giant. It's not just deacons that need to go slay a giant. It's not just the elders that need to go slay a giant. If God's given you a burden, you go slay the giant. Get help. Solicit help. Take help. But you go slay the giant. Number five, not everyone faces the same giant. So not everybody faces the same giant. So I could go around the room this morning if we were going to be really vulnerable, and we could do this. I could say, you know, what is your giant? What this morning in your life is your giant? And so if I went around the room, you know, we probably wouldn't want to say it. Right? We probably wouldn't want to say it. Here's part of the problem we have. We talked yesterday with our men's ministry about being vulnerable and being accountable to each other. But it starts with being vulnerable. It starts with lowering our guard. And if I'm struggling in an area, it's kind of hard for me to get help in an area if I'm not willing to tell somebody I got a struggle in that area. Brother, I'm struggling with lust. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray for me. I want you to hold me accountable to that. That's a struggle that I'm having right now. If we went around the room, you know, we probably wouldn't want to tell that. We wouldn't want to talk about what our giant is. But here's what's interesting. Some of you would say what your giant is, and others in here would go, that's not a giant. That's not much of a giant. But you know, everybody's situation is different, right? Yeah. And what's maybe a giant for you is it may not be a giant for somebody else. We all have different giants in our life. Maybe yours, and I want you to think about right now, what is your giant? Now, I would venture to guess everybody in here is facing a giant right now. Is it pride? Is it arrogance? Is it fear? Laziness? Bitterness? Anger? Insecurity? Unbelief? Wrath? Apathy? Is it a critical spirit? Is it carnality? Is it materialism? Or greed? Or lust? Or gluttony? Or hypocrisy? Fear of being rejected? Is it a fear of failure? Is it a fear of success? We could list on and on. And I hadn't planned to do this. The Lord's really dealing with me. Because I want to tell you what my giant is right now. It's insecurity. And insecurity rears its head in a lot of strange ways. It's a fear that people don't like you. They don't appreciate you. It's a fear of losing your where you're at. Man, I'm not measuring up. It's a fear that they want somebody else. It's a fear that I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. I've struggled, I think, my whole life with insecurity. But I'm going to tell you, it's a giant that I'm facing right now. And it causes you to act ways with certain people in certain situations and certain things, the ways that you wouldn't want to act because you're insecure. And I don't want to be that. That's the giant that I have to slay. And I challenge you this morning to identify the giant that you're facing right now and slay that giant. So I encourage you to be patient with one another, because what's a giant to me may not be a giant to you. And what's a giant to you may not be a giant to me. But we all face some giant. We need to be patient with one another. Number six, sometimes you need help to kill a giant. You need help. Sometimes you need someone to be accountable to in order to kill your giant. Abishai, he helped David slay a giant. Verse 17, and Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine and killed him. He had someone who was there. David, we don't see that David asked for help there. It's amazing. Abishai just was watching. He was attentive. He put his focus on that. He was looking out for David. He was a wingman for David. He was going to protect him. And when he saw, man, he saw the enemy coming. He saw this giant that David didn't see. And he goes and he struck the Philistine and he kills him. Sometimes people are going to come to you and offer help. Sometimes they'll say, hey, man, brother, sister, you know, I see this in your life. I'm just seeing something. I'm here for you. I want to help you. When they do that, let them. When God's put it on their heart to be a help to you, let them. Don't push them away. We're a lot of times in our insecurity or in our pride or whatever. No, I'm fine. And we push them away and we put out our quills because we don't want nobody getting close. And if somebody wants to help you, let them help you. Don't push them away. Don't reject their assistance. Be kind, be grateful, be gracious. Because the fact is, you may really need them to slay that giant. Be transparent. You know, I don't mean you got to be transparent with everybody in every situation, but man, you got to have somebody in your life that you can be transparent with. You got to let them know what's going on. I don't think I'm a fake, but I don't know. Insecurities, we put on masks, and I want you to see me a certain way. I'll tell you with integrity, I try to live the same way at home as I live here. I may fail in that. I may not be the same all the time, but I try to be. But we got to be transparent. And I'm being transparent with you. You can see who I am. Hey, how you doing? I'm doing great. I'm not doing great. What's going on this week? Oh, man, everything's good. You do good? Everything's good. We got a mask on with a big smiley face on it, and inside we're empty. We're hurting. We're struggling. We got to be transparent. And we're afraid. Here's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of being rejected. We're afraid men that have a struggle. I don't know why I'm using this. I'll just confess, it's not my sin today. But maybe you've got a problem with lust. Maybe you're dabbling on the internet with stuff you shouldn't. We're afraid to tell somebody that because we're fearful of being rejected. And it's legit because there are some places and some people that would just stone you. You heathen. Oh, Nothing to do with you. I hope that's not us. I hope this is a place that we can be vulnerable with one another in those friendships, those tight relationships, those men's groups, those ladies' groups. And we can be transparent, we can be vulnerable with each other. And when somebody tells you they've got a giant in your life, in their life, you can help them instead of getting on side with the giant and not being a help. Does that make sense? We're afraid of being rejected when we're transparent, but be transparent. Number 7, God gives victory over all giants.
Amen.
That's the great exhortation this morning. That's the great encouragement this morning, that God gives victory over every giant. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have victory over every giant in our life. Regardless of what that giant is, we can have victory. So kill your giants, all your giants. Get help when you need help. Listen, receive help when it's offered. Don't deny that the giant exists. You got a giant in your life, and man, you want to play off like it's not there. You're not going to get victory by ignoring it. Us men, you know, we could have a third arm growing out of our back, and we won't go to the doctor. It'll clear up. It'll get better. I know I have a hard time getting my shirt on, but it'll be all right. That's what we do. We do the same thing medically that we do spiritually. We want to ignore the problem and hope it goes away, and it won't. Don't deny that it exists. Face it and kill it. Now, I want to give you a word of warning. You know, David won the victory over Goliath. The loud, boisterous, visibly intimidating giant, he won the victory. And he lost the battle with his own lust. And he fell into sin with Bathsheba. And something that would have seemed like he would have had no trouble defeating. Man, you go out and kill Goliath, but he fell to that inward sin. Folks, be careful. Be careful that we don't think because a sin is a small thing in our mind, it's a little thing, nobody sees it, nobody knows about it, nobody's going to have any idea about this. Those are the ones that bring us down, not the big one that's in our face that everybody can see. David lost that battle to something that should have been it could have been an easier victory, but he tried to hide it. He should have been off at battle. And he's not. There's a lot of things going on there. But he won a great victory over a great giant. And he had one that everybody else didn't see. And he lost to that. So I encourage you to be careful. And don't minimize any of those giants in your life. You know, this morning, if you're not a believer, everything is a giant. But the greatest giant in your life right now is sin. And that sin will win the victory and has won the victory over you if you've not put your faith and trust in Christ. But Christ has won the victory over sin and hell and death and the grave. He's won the victory. And he's done the fight for us. So when it comes to salvation, that giant of sin, we can't defeat that. But we have a partner who can in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And he came to this earth, God in flesh, and lived a sinless life, and went to the cross of Calvary and bore our sin in our place. He took our place on that cross. And he offers you eternal life. He died for you. He paid your sin debt that you could not pay. He died there, and he rose again 3 days later. And he offers you eternal life simply through repentance and faith, acknowledging your sin and your hopelessness, and turning to Christ and trusting in him by faith. Maybe this morning, if you don't know Christ, today would be the day of salvation. For those of us as believers, you know, I just have to believe every one of us in here, we're facing something. We're facing something. There's some giant in our life that we're battling. And I encourage you this morning to deal with God on that, to deal with him, to talk to him. And seek out help if you need some help. We're in this together.
Amen.
We're in this together. And whatever the giant is you're facing, don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. But this morning, maybe you just want to spend some time talking as we have invitation. Pastor Aaron, you can come. Pastor Aaron's going to sing. We'll sing together. But maybe you need to just sit there and have some prayer and talk to God about the battle that you're facing right now and ask Him to give you wisdom and guidance and direction in winning the battle with your giant. Father God, I just pray that You'll be with us in this invitation time. Lord, I know every person in this room has either faced a trial, a giant, a trouble. We've faced it, we're facing it, or we're going to face it. Lord, I just pray that we as believers will take it serious. We'll seek help. We'll receive help. We'll understand that just my normal way of dealing with a situation is not always the way I need to deal with every situation. We also understand that some methodology of dealing with a giant in my life is not what God wants me to trust in. He wants me to trust in Him. So I pray this morning, whatever our giant is, Lord, we might name it and we might give it to You and we might seek Your help, God, for whatever battle is we're in or whatever battle is coming, God, would You help us? Help us as believers, as Your children, to slay those giants in our life and to walk in victory. We cannot do it on our own. We can't do it in our own flesh. God, we pray You'd help us and that You would do the work that needs to be done. Lord, for those in this room, if there's even one that doesn't know You as Savior, I pray they might step forward and come and talk to me this morning and just say, Pastor, I need to be saved. We'll take the scriptures and walk them right to the throne of the Lord God Almighty. So Lord, just do what only You can do now in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.